Welcome to the Union for Reform Judaism's Parenting Podcast. I'm Wendy Grinberg, Parenting Specialist, and today I'm speaking with Dr. Richard Weisbord, Lecturer in Education at the Harvard Graduate School of Education and the Kennedy School of Government, and author of the book, The Parents We Mean to Be, How Well-Intentioned Adults Undermine Children's Moral and Emotional Development. Dr. Weisbord's work focuses on vulnerability and resilience in childhood, the achievement gap, moral development, and effective schools and services for children. Today, our conversation starts around the ideas of being happy versus being good and the moral dilemmas that kids face. Can you explain what you mean by the phrase you use in your book, overemphasizing happiness at the expense of goodness? How are parents doing that?
We did research in 5 high schools, and we asked kids what's most important to you. We asked them to rank what's most important to you, being a happy person, being a good person who cares about others, getting into a good college, and having a high-status career. And we asked them to define what they meant by all those things. And we asked them how they imagined their parents would rank those things for them. So was it more important to their parents if they were happy or good or went got into a good college, et cetera? And this was across, you know, we had 5 high schools across race, class, culture. I mean, in the entire sample, we had quite a lot of diversity. And about 2/3 of kids said their happiness was more important than their goodness. And a slightly higher percentage believed that their happiness was more important to their parents than their goodness. So, you know, I think it's, you know, at least one indication of the degree to which, as a culture, we have promoted happiness as the primary goal of child raising and demoted goodness and morality as the goal of child raising. The second thing I was just going to say about this is that, you know, I have felt this in my own parenting and what I've observed of other parents, that there are a lot of subtle ways in which we privilege our kids' happiness, I think, over their attentiveness to other people. And you know, on the playground, I think you see parents who are highly attuned to how their own kids are feeling minute to minute, but they're not really especially attuned to how other kids are feeling or to tuning their kids into how other kids are feeling. You know, they don't require their kids to reach out to a friendless kid on a playground, or they let their kids interrupt a group of kids who are playing a game. You know, when my kids were young, I didn't require my kids to give other kids credit for their achievements. I let them write off friends that they found annoying, you know, so they would find a kid irritating, and they would want to just write off that kid, and I didn't really require them to try and work it out. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, in all these subtle ways, we end up prioritizing our kids' happiness over their caring for others, and the irony is that it not only makes them less moral, I think it makes them less happy in the end, because I think if they can tune in to other people and organize around other people, they're going to have good relationships, and those relationships are probably the strongest source of well-being they're going to have. They're going to be better friends, better grandparents, better romantic partners, better mentors. So, you know, for the sake of our kids' morality and their happiness, I think we could do more to get them to tune into other people.
Is there a point at which it's sort of the inverse of the golden rule becomes a realization?
Do you mean the self-involvement and the...
The sort of realization that the way you're treating others is the way they may be treating you. And I'm asking because you said it can be tied to your happiness. Therefore, if you're not a particularly moral person or a good friend, you may find yourself realizing that you don't have good friends.
Yeah, and you may also find yourself realizing that if I talk behind other people's backs, other people are going to talk behind my back, and mm-hmm. whether or not I'm moral or not, it may make me less happy in the end mm-hmm. because other people are doing the same thing that I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And I do think it's important to, you know, be mindful of the golden rule, but also be mindful, you know, of what Kant, the philosopher Immanuel Kant, called the categorical imperative, which... You want people to act according to those principles that they would want to make universal laws, according to those principles that they would want everybody to act on. And, you know, if you're gossiping and you maliciously Yeah, you gotta, at some point, you got to ask yourself, what if everybody gossiped maliciously? Would that be a better world or a worse world? And, you know, it's the kind of principle that I think we should really engage kids at quite young ages in thinking about. Kids are moral philosophers. You know, they love to engage moral questions. And they also, I think, are much more likely to internalize a moral in principle, really embrace a moral in principle, if they come to it using the capacity that they value most in themselves, which is the capacity to think. And so, you know, I don't think this is a matter of prying open kids' heads and pouring in our values or standards. I think it's a matter of having conversations with them about, you know, what does kindness mean? What does generosity mean? Why are these things important? What does it mean to be kind day to day? How is that expressed? What are the many ways we can express it? What does it mean when, you know, you're loyal to a friend and they do something wrong? Is loyalty more important, or is caring more important, or how loyalty and caring be combined in those situations? I mean, these are the kind of conversations kids love to talk about, and I think it's in those conversations, in part, that a moral identity is created.
You can't just say honesty, always be honest, because sometimes you shouldn't be honest. There is a higher value.
Yeah. So one of the dilemmas that we found in our research, you know, we asked kids what their moral dilemmas are. And one of the classic ones, I mean, there are two kind of classic ones. You know, one is your friend steals a calculator from the kid next to you, and the teacher asks you who stole the calculator. Should you be honest with your teacher or loyal to your friend? And, you know, this is a complicated dilemma, because if you think the teacher is going to act irrationally, and this kid's already in a lot of trouble with his parents, for example, and this kid's going to get kicked out of school, you know, and you're going to become a social pariah. There are good reasons why you might not want to be honest with the teacher in that situation. I mean, eventually you want to try and be honest in some way, and you need to deal with the stealing. I'm not saying the stealing's unimportant, but you might be able to deal with the stealing in another way without becoming a pariah and without endangering your kids. So it's your point. Honesty is a very important value, but there are times where other values trump honesty. Another one that came up, I just actually talked to a bunch of kids about this one. You know, this is a really common one, too. You know, so your friend is dating a friend of yours. So let's say Karen is a friend of Donovan, and Donovan is dating Sally. And you're at a party with Donovan, and he hooks up with Jennifer, with another girl. And he asks you not to tell your friend Karen. This is the kind of, did I get the names right? But you get the gist of it.
Right.
This is the kind of dilemma that comes up all the time. Should you be honest with your friend when you know that another friend of yours is cheating on her and they're dating? Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is the kind of thing where, you know, kids usually end up saying, you know, quite mature answers, which is that Donovan and Karen should work it out Donovan and Sally should work it out. And if you're Karen, you should talk to Donovan about how to work it out with Sally. I mean, if not, you may want to be honest with Sally. But you know, they can also be very nuanced about when to be honest and when not to be honest in a situation like this. I mean, you know, what if Sally is also, you know that Sally is also hooking up with other people, for example. What do you know? What if you know that Sally really wants to break up with Donovan, or Sally, you know, whatever? These are complicated situations. So, you know, in a way, these are opportunities to talk both about the value of honesty and loyalty. How can I maximize honesty and loyalty in this situation? Because they're both very important. But about the nuances of relationship and the many circumstances that have to be factors in thinking about when to be honest and when to be loyal, and how to be honest and how to be loyal.
Thank you for listening to the Union for Reform Judaism's Parenting Podcast. You can find more resources and let us know what you think at urj.org/parents.